This is a special report from ABC News. Baltimore bridge collapse. I'm Chuck Sievertson. All federal help available is being made in response to the river-spanning key bridge collapse in Baltimore, says President Biden.
Personnel on board the ship were able to alert the Maryland Department of Transportation that they had lost control of their vessel, as you all know and reported. As a result, local authorities were able to close the bridge to traffic before the bridge was struck, which undoubtedly saved lives.
Several workers were filling potholes in the bridge when the container ship crashed into a support. Two are rescued, says Maryland Governor Wes Moore.
This is very much still a search and rescue mission. We are still actively looking for survivors.
Tomorrow, the National Transportation Safety Board will begin to release some information about the crash, says the board's chair, Jennifer Hummody. But for now,
not a lot of information that I can share at this time.
This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden's campaign co-chairman is in Wisconsin today and tomorrow. Mitch Landers spearheaded the president's trillion-dollar infrastructure plan. He's here to talk to local leaders about the economy. Stops include Madison, Milwaukee, Racine, La Crosse, Sheboygan, and Wausau. Political spending by anonymous donors is reaching record highs. Anna Masolia is the author of a new report by Open Secrets. She says that kind of money often pays for misleading attack ads.
When you have dark money groups fueling this spending, the voter may not know what interest the secret donors behind that have.
Masolia says dark money often comes from 501c4 nonprofits, which have few legal limits on how they can spend their money. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The new community clinic in Green Bay is bringing medical and dental care to residents who may not have access to the care otherwise, says CEO Kim Franzen.
And we decided we're going to really up our game and bring our services out to those who have barriers for transportation. So we decided let's build a mobile unit.
Franzen says that the 40-foot-long mobile medical unit has two bays and can provide complete dental services, including x-rays, medical care, mental health care, and even WIC benefits.
We have refrigerators in there so we can bring vaccinations out. We have a full network so we can get onto the electronic medical record. We've got portable x-ray for our dentists so they can take x-rays while we're out and about.
The new community clinic's mobile unit currently serves Brown County. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
This is National Let's Laugh Day. I think laughter is truly the best medicine. What makes you laugh the hardest? My family members, my kids are funny. My dad makes me laugh. My wife makes me laugh. Conrad makes me laugh. I think one of the most important things that we can do in life is laugh. Personally, comedy's gotten me through some very tough times. It's great therapy.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Brewers lose their leadoff batter. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Garrett Mitchell was expected to be the Brewers' leadoff hitter for Thursday's opening day in New York against the Mets, but after an MRI, it was discovered the 25-year-old center fielder suffered a fracture in his left hand. He's expected to go on the injured list and be out the first 4 to 8 weeks of the season. Mitchell hurt the hand during batting practice over the weekend. He missed most of last season with a shoulder injury. NFL meetings going on in Orlando. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst says he's glad running back A.J. Dillon agreed to re-signed with the team because there was no way they could have hung on to both Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones.
To get AJ back, it was that was a kind of a nice surprise. But I think that, you know, the free agent running back class was very strong. There's a bunch of experienced runners out there.
And the Packers signed a veteran kicker, Greg Olsen, a free agent after 3 years with the Vikings. He'll compete with Anders Carlson, who struggled in his rookie season in Green Bay. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. a rain or snow shower around this evening, then a cloudy sky overnight, and the temps drop down to the mid-20s. For tomorrow, a partly sunny day, still a little breezy, high temperatures into the upper 30s. On Thursday, mostly sunny and a high to the low 40s. Right now, it's 48.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Mino on the mayor and the mayor on a Thursday.
Wait a minute. That's a whole other show.
He's been on my case.
Delete
all
that one.
Oh, my goodness.
This is a family show.
I know.
He's not that. He's just been on my case.
It'll be the only show in history that didn't have one listener.
Mino and the mayor. Weekday morning, 6 till 9. On the talk of Green Bay, WGBW and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
I'm Earl, host of The Earl Ingram Show. Wednesday at 9 a.m., I'll be joined by Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, only on Civic Media.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education Tuesday night. Yeah, Tuesday. Everybody's like, yeah, Tuesday. You guys are always on Tuesday. We're on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday now. Yeah. And yes, if you're hanging out on Tuesday, you're one of the original Tuesday people. Welcome back. We appreciate you. If you're new to the show, hey, check it out, man. We love it. It's, you know, one of the best things.
Yes, we do.
We have a special episode. Well, it's not it's a special night. Educators Amplified, we know Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie. Every Wednesday night, we have Educators Amplified in the house. This week, special edition, Teacher Joanna, Educators Amplified on a Tuesday night, because Wednesday, that's tomorrow, the Educators Amplified ladies, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, have something else to do. So we said, you know what? What? I know. Can you believe?
Hey, just make a Tuesday a Wednesday. That's just a little swap. You know, we can do that.
We can do it. We got Teacher Joanna here and Teacher Hallie. I don't know. Maybe, you know, we'll see her next week too. But Teacher Joanna, how are you?
I am doing well. Okay, I said that where I'm like, well, but I am. I'm actually on my spring break right now. And so, I mean, what I'm really seeing is, you know, so obviously I'm at home. I'm not off in Florida or anything, and just been taking the time to handle business that you can't handle when you're at school all day. Like I was on the phone for 35 minutes trying to schedule my colonoscopy, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you went there. I was just going to say, you know, like going to the bathroom. But I mean, if it's scheduling the colonoscopy, yeah, you know, people forget. It's like, what do teachers do? How do teachers? I remember little kids going, Doc, you know, I was Mr. Slecker then. Mr. Slecker, when do you pee?
Yeah.
Just like,
I mean, that's real. I mean, that's 100% real. You ask a teacher what they did on their time off, and most likely, we all know, we scheduled our doctor's appointments. We went to doctor's appointments. We got our teeth cleaned. We finally got a haircut in. I mean, back then I had hair. So, I mean, all the things that you forget. I went to the bank during the day.
Yeah.
Right? When we're on break. Do I ever? Yeah.
You know the excitement of... Yeah. I mean, really, that's what I'm doing. I'm taking care of business. And because I'm at a new job this year, too, I don't have time saved up. So I really had to use my break to just kind of like handle life. And I'm feeling all right.
Well, you know, scheduling that the most pleasant experience of, you know, when you get into those 5-0s. You're supposed to do that, you know. 855-752-4842. If you want to call in and schedule your colonoscopy with Busted Pencils, go
for it. Oh, my God.
No, we can't actually do that. Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny do not have the ability to do colonoscopies.
We just have them done. I mean, we don't get to opt out of that.
Well, and my point was that literally just to make the appointment, I was on the phone for 35 minutes, like just to make the appointment. So I forget about, well, I remember, but I forget those kinds of things. Like just, you know, making those kind of phone calls is not quick.
It's not. But you know what? Let's teacher Joanna. We've been talking a lot with Educators Amplified, you know, about regulation, social emotional, different positions. There's the absolutely status quo bidding to want to take over schools. There's the far right craziness that wants to take over schools. And we're like, what about the middle ground? However, we had a really exciting episode maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago when we were just talking about the number of referendums that are going to be happening in the state of Wisconsin, and very particularly one too though that very much deals directly with where you are a teacher, Milwaukee Public Schools. MPS, say yes, vote yes, vote yes for the referendum on MPS. And they're in the Journal Sentinel, Milwaukee school funding is a better lifeline. Students deserve better than more cuts. This is written by your Senator Chris Larson. I just want to read a little bit from this because Senator Larson does an incredibly great job here. But quote, with the massive amounts of money being spent by wealthy interests to influence our politics, it can be hard to determine what's true and what's not. Often the best way to get to the bedrock truth isn't by fact-checking the various claims these special interests make. It's by considering the motivations of the people making them. The current school referendum debate is a perfect example. Just about every public school district in Wisconsin is experiencing a shortfall due to the state purposely underfunding them. Recently, the Milwaukee Metropolitan Association of Commerce launched a committee to oppose the desperately needed referendum for Milwaukee Public Schools, but none of the others seeking taxpayer approval. This group spent about $500,000 opposing the MPS referendum through March 18th. We still won't know the full amount until July. Joanna, I mean, there's a whole bunch more there. Encourage everybody to go to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, take this down. We'll put a link here in the chat so that people can see this. If you're on the YouTube or the Twitter or the Facebook watching us, and you know, we'll also put a link to it when we put up the podcast tomorrow. But Joanna, you know, say yes to MPS. I want to talk, you know, we're going to talk a lot about, all of the referendums in Wisconsin. Senator Larson makes a good point here about all of them, but the reality of active campaigning money. $500,000, there's going to be probably either, as they said, by July, we'll know the amount of money being spent to oppose Milwaukee Public Schools not getting the money. And again, we've said this before, not the money they want, the money they need to keep the essentials going, not just, you know, new gym floors, new coaches' whistles. No. We're talking about basic needs. But the whole idea of, and I guess it's not dark money if you know where it's coming from, but big money flooding, you know, all kinds of money to oppose paying taxes is what it sounds like to me, that there's an organization of people in Milwaukee, the Commerce Group, that are saying, we don't want to pay any more taxes. And I think the answer is, well, you wouldn't have to if the Republican legislature did what they're supposed to. However, they haven't done that. And so here we are today. Joanna, help fill in the gaps. What am I doing? What am I missing?
Well, no, it's a great explanation. What I think is, you know, we have the opportunity here on the Busted Pencil show is to engage with our listeners about what that really means. And you know, how long this has been going on. So myself being a 28-year educator, and a resident of the city of Milwaukee, the target on Milwaukee Public Schools has been there for a long time. And I feel unwarranted, of course, you know, as someone whose children have attended the schools and I'm active within my community. We do great things in Milwaukee Public Schools. And so the attention we get is not coming from a good place. And what we really work hard to do is to, tell our truth, speak our truth, right? That we have a lot of marginalized folks in our cities and our schools are underfunded. And we're doing the best we can. I mean, I can't believe how things have changed over the years in terms of, you know, right, when we talk about when you and I first met around the Act 10 stuff, Tim, you know, it was like we took the money right from the public employees, right? You know, and so, you know, there's a funding source that goes unrecognized. And then, you know, all of our, you know, all of our things kind of went down. And so, I mean, in a way, I congratulate us for hanging on this long. But what I like to share with listeners is like, it's no longer, like I said, kind of like this choice, like, should we, shouldn't we? It's like, do we believe in public education? And do we want it to survive?
I think that's the question, Johnny Lupinacci.
Well, we're going to test this internet speed here because I've been having a little trouble all day. So if I break up, just know I'm lost and I'll come back on, but we'll give it a run. So, you know, this is like Teacher Joanna was saying, referendums are because legislation has defunded schools and they're putting that shortfall, like things have gotten more expensive. There's inflation. It's just like it costs money to have quality education, right? We talked about it on here. There's no free lunch. That's not a joke. I mean, it costs money to have quality schools. But the legislation has defunded it and then put the only way you can make up budget shortfalls, right, is to put referendums on the ballot and have people vote to make up that shortfall through property taxes. So there's a $252 million proposal out there, which sounds like a lot, right? I mean, it sounds like a lot, but I think some folks have broken it down well. Just put the instrumental argument, because I'm with you both, Teacher Joanna and Tim. Like, we're on the same page. This is really about, do you support public education? Great. Then you know what? Everything's gotten more expensive. Do you like eggs? They got more expensive. You gotta eat things, and cost of food went up. Well, guess what? Cost of education has gone up too. And I'm gonna put the instrumental argument out there. And maybe we have an expert who can call in, or we have folks in real estate who know about this. But everyone knows that the quality of your school is directly connected with the property value of your home and your neighborhood. So if you have a high quality school, you have a insurance policy on the rate, the worth of your home, your land, all of these things. But there's in a country like ours, there's taxes, regardless whether you're pro increasing taxes or not, there's taxes. This increase, I think the numbers they're saying on like a $100,000 home is around $200. Think $216 on a $200,000 home, $400. I mean, is $216 a year more a lot? I mean, it's kind of something. It's not something to just blink at and say, well, it's a no-brainer. Let's just click it. You know, it's costly, but it's a high return on investment. And I think that's the thing we have to talk about. The turnaround of a quality funded school is quadruple. And that's what I was saying. Maybe a real estate person can call in and, you know, confirm this or talk about property values. You know, this is a small increase for a high return on value and a no-brainer for educators. We just know it's important. We'll probably get more into it when we get back. But, hey, my internet held up.
And yeah, I get to talk it is, to man.
With two my favorite people. So well, let's go.
And you do such a great job of explaining that. I love it. Yes. Thanks. You.
Oh, got it right. Well, you know what I've been saying? Say yes to MPS, baby. Say yes.
Hey, so and you know what? Say yes to Busted Pencils. Call us, 855-752-4842. Back in a minute.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from some 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
That's what we do every week, every night now. We give it all. We give it our all. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number is 855-752-4842. Say yes to MPS. Special Educators Amplified night tonight. Teacher Joanna is with us in the house. And we were just, you know, kind of talking about the ins and outs of the referendum. Referendum that's occurring all over Wisconsin, but more specifically tonight, really talking about what's happening in Milwaukee with the referendum there. And just a quote from Chris Larson's article from the Milwaukee Journal, quote, "Milwaukee's public schools serve a tremendously diverse population with some of the highest rates of poverty, percentage of students with special needs, and numbers of English language learners of any district in the state. For all these reasons, educating these students with the services they deserve costs more money than your average suburban district, some of which have higher per pupil revenue limits than Milwaukee public schools. And yet, despite the inherent advantages that districts in affluent suburban communities have, many of them are also facing their own funding shortfalls and are also considering referendums to keep the lights on." All right, there it is. So very important. Johnny hit on something, though, Teacher Joanna, where he was saying about, you know, one of the things, I used to have this argument with my grandfather all the time, because he used to say, you know, Mike, your mother's out of school. I don't need to pay taxes anymore for the school district. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, what the heck happened to my neighborhood? I was like, well, granddad, you know, when you decided that you were not going to pay taxes anymore, your school district went downhill and then your property values tanked. And so the idea that you had already paid yours, you don't want to pay it anymore. Well, guess what? When your school system fails, your property values. And a lot of this push is from commerce and business. In fact, one Northwestern Mutual is out there really putting in a lot of the money to say, hey, we got to stop this MPS, say yes to MPS. Well, you read closely and you look, it's like, well, okay, what does a referendum mean? It does mean property taxes are going to increase. Yes, there are all kinds of issues with that, and we probably will get into it. But, Northwest Mutual has properties totaling $420 million in assessed value. And wait, they're putting money out to stop the referendum? That to me sounds like Northwest Mutual sounds just like Granddad Yates, my grandfather, who used to say, I don't want to pay taxes anymore. And it's like, yo, Northwest Mutual, really? So you want the school system around your area to collapse? I don't know. Those were my thoughts as we're coming in this, Teacher Joanna.
Well, I'm back on what Johnny was talking about before, just that everything's more expensive. And so, mm-hmm. Yes, it appears that they're against property taxes. You know, sales taxes were just passed here in the city of Milwaukee without a referendum. Like that just right happens through other democratic channels. But these issue of referendum is that it has to go forward through referendum and get approved in order to happen. So I don't, you know me, yeah. I'm like, I don't get too much into the technical. I'm on the collective here of like, this is a collective thing for the children of our city.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm with you too, Joanna. I mean, that's where I have always found myself is, come on, this is a no-brainer. Yeah, it's a little bit of money, but it's a no-brainer. But if we were to break it down, some of the myths are that like there's mishandling of funds or that there is a shortfall because it's misappropriation of spending or overspending. That's absolutely not true. Look into it. There's transparency. right? This is due to cost increases. Mm-hmm. And there's a full breakdown. If you want to know, like, hey, what do they mean by cost increases? Well, it costs more to replenish Chromebooks or to technology or textbooks that cost something less years ago now cost more. So not only do we need to replace and update these things, but their replacement isn't the same cost as it was before.
Right. And also, even just the utilities.
Yeah, the utilities. That's a big one. So you can look and you can look this stuff up. We can put some links into ours, but I'm sure folks listening locally, you have access to, you know, your newspapers and, you know, the source directly, the Milwaukee Public Schools. You can look at utility increased. Just the increase alone is $2 million. So it's $2 million more dollars, not because they're using more electricity, right? Or, you know, there's more to utilities than just electricity, but not because they're using more, because it's the increase, the cost increase has gone up so significantly that there is a shortfall. And to make up that shortfall, you know, legislation hasn't said, hey, we're going to fund you more. They're saying, hey, you can tax local folks, but you got to put it to vote. Right. The other big thing is we can get into the weeds. We talk about teacher wellness. I mean, we kind of joked a little bit around about how on break, every teacher's scheduling doctor's appointments. But a big cost in our districts is health costs.
Yeah.
How about a nationalized health care? We solved that problem right away. I mean, so there is a lot of things that cost money. Right. And it's not salary increases. You know, it's not, I mean, those are on here, but they're not the significant ones. They're not the ones that are making up the rationale why, if you have a $200,000 home in this area, it might cost you $400 more a year. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's not, I don't even think it's more. I think that's the amount, like $400 per year. Sorry, I misquoted that, because that could be a lot if you're already paying. Right. But that's about the estimated amount. So that's kind of important to think about when you know, to be a property owner, right, means that you're paying into the worth of the community. And you get back what you put in. So you put in a little and you get back a lot on investing in public schools. It's no brainer.
Johnny, just quickly, Johnny, there it is. You know, core democratic values, the common good. You're talking about that. Why do we do this? The common good, public schools. Sorry, Teacher Joanna, go ahead.
No, I'm just, again, there's point by point. It's important to understand the details. And yet the overall message is we have been disinvesting in our children and their education for a long time. For a long time.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of those too. You sit there and go, how did we get here? And so maybe that's one of the ways we want to go. It's like, okay, we need the referendum. You're out there listening. Say yes to MPS. Make sure talk to your neighbor. We're always talking to our neighbors. The neighbors understand why they're saying yes to do this. The number, though, too, if you want to call in and jump on, 855-752-4842. I would love somebody from the Commerce Group to call in and kind of, you know, chat with us a little bit to see if we can maybe help them understand that, you know, being part of the common good is kind of what a democratic citizen's supposed to do. But how did we get here? Well, that is a real issue, Joanna. You say this, whether you want to go back to Act 10, back in those times, but it has been a targeted, intentional defunding of schools that has brought to the point where, oh, the only way we can get the essential money we have now is by, well, the law says we have to go back to the taxpayers to ask for the money. And boy, we've been hearing, though, that really, what are we doing at this point? Because you guys, Wisconsin, when I say you guys, girls, women, people, those of you in the legislature who have so much access to billions, that's B as in billions, of extra funding, the fact that you're not letting go of any of that, putting it out there. Man, we're going to come back, though. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk, 855-752-4842.
Give us a call.
Hey, it's John Mino. On Wednesday's show, Pete Schwab from Nightlight on the Civic Media Network joins us. Mino and the Mayor, morning 6 till 9 on WISS and WGBW.
You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is considering letting school start in August. Local schools like the idea, but the state's tourism industry does not. The owners of resorts, restaurants, and other businesses told a hearing yesterday they need school-age workers during the peak of the summer season. Local schools say they need more flexibility. The change still needs approval from lawmakers and the governor. Efforts to debunk election conspiracy theories in Wisconsin resume tonight in West Bend. That's where Kathy Bernier and the group Keep Our Republic will hold a seminar.
If we have a successful election with no drama or accusations, that will be a success.
Bernier speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. Keep Our Republic was formed to counter doubts about the 2020 election. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Oshkosh Common Council will decide whether to change the titles of mayor and deputy mayor to council president and council vice president during today's meeting. The city of Oshkosh operates under a city manager form of government, which means a city administrator takes care of the day-to-day running of the city, while the mayor is the president of the Common Council. Because this would result in a change to an ordinance, it will require a supermajority or 5 of the 7 members of the council to pass the ordinance. The village of Fremont in Waupaca County no longer has a police department. The Fremont Board of Trustees voted Monday to dissolve the department following staffing difficulties and ongoing contract with the Waupaca County Sheriff's Department. Board President Bobby Marks says the village is unable to offer salary and benefits that other departments do. Waupaca County Sheriff's Office will continue to provide law enforcement for the village of 679 people. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas station.
You drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass man. Go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
Oh. You do look like a...
beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. One of Pete's picks is Knox Goes Away, which is in theaters. If you like Michael Keaton and a nice film noir, I definitely say check it out. Reviews were mostly favorable. The film does not move quickly, instead taking its time, which totally worked, as the plot progressed well and escalated, even throwing in a few subtle twists. Actor 4AJ Smith, who dresses up as a cowboy on Yellowstone, was thrown off a flight for refusing to sit next to a person wearing a mask. That's right, he disapproved of behavior that actually didn't affect but did protect him on a flying petri dish. Smith, who plays Lloyd Pierce on the show, is a fierce anti-vax proponent and sat out the SAG Awards in 2022 due to their vaccine policy for attendees. The actor apparently did not have a problem showing up on the set where vaccines and COVID tests were enforced regularly throughout the pandemic. The lesson? Do not compromise your principles unless there's money involved. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe. Every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A rain or snow shower around this evening, then a cloudy sky overnight, and the temps drop down to the mid-20s. For tomorrow, a partly sunny day, still a little breezy, high temperatures into the upper 30s. On Thursday, mostly sunny and a high to the low 40s. Currently, it's 46.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
My conversation with Taylor Kalmus, a.k.a. Dudad.
When you go to the movies and you get to the last climactic scene, you're not just like, oh, you know what would be fun? Let's leave. Let's finish this movie in the parking lot. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I think he's talking about...
Let's pull out of this movie theater.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
I have my mother. Yeah, dreams and eyes, mothers and fathers, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. 855-752-4842 is the number. It is a special Tuesday night, Educators Amplified Night. Teacher Joanna is in the house. Say yes to MPS. We've been quoting from an article by Senator Chris Larson in the Milwaukee Journal, kind of laying out the realities. We're here. What do we stand to lose? There's a lot we're going to stand to lose. However, before we get into that, we've got Jack from Merrimack on the line. Jack, what's happening, our friend?
Well, the question that I have is, how did we get here? And the answer that I have is we got here by having an established education budget and then giving virtually unlimited amounts of welfare to private schools. As far as I know, there's no limitation on the number of students that can be taking gifts from the taxpayer to go to private schools. And not only that, roughly from the last thing I read about this, roughly two-thirds of the people that are getting these vouchers or whatever you want to call them are getting them they would have been sending their kids to private schools anyway, so they don't need money. The other half of that is, of course, there is and I'm sorry, it's politically oriented. There is a Republican group that is committed to destroying the public schools and trying to make everybody go to private schools and pay individually for those. And they have underfunded our public schools all the way from preschool, which they haven't supported and which we really need child care and preschool care, to university level education, and not counting the primary and secondaries, of course, as well. And there's several billion dollars available. And for some strange reason, our legislature has decided, no, they're not going to spend it for things that everybody in the state can use.
Jack, for some strange reason, I have a feeling you're being a little sarcastic when you say for some strange reason. Jack, we always love when you give us a call. Jack, appreciate it. Teacher Joanna, you're like, Jack knows what's up. I see that in the chat.
Yeah, he does. Well, that was just, again, another great breakdown. So people in our state know what's happening. And those are the decisions we're going to have to make. And that's why I love Senator Larson's article that is like, don't be swindled. Think of what is the motivation behind someone who is telling you to say no to public education. Mm-hmm. What is their motivation?
Man, just think about that. The gumption. I was going to say I won't say it, but the idea to say no. To public education. I mean, that's what we're saying. You're out there literally actively campaigning on say no to the common good, say no to a core democratic value, the common good, public education, say no. And Joanna, you talked about this though too, the last referendum, lots of gains.
Right. And so our last referendum finally kind of evened the playing field between Milwaukee public school children and kids throughout the state, where we were able to add in the arts to every school. And we're talking about, you know, fine arts, music, all of that. And that's what we've been gaining. I mean, and I think we've got the evidence out there. It went to like, it was like 19% of schools had these things to like now 92%. And that is what we stand to lose. And that is what people, I guess, are campaigning to say no to. I just think about those gains and I'm like, if we can keep going and gaining, what that means for our students.
You say that too, losing art, losing music, losing those things, right? Johnny, go ahead. I'm sorry there, buddy.
Well, no, I mean, you're right. Cause it's right aligned to this. It seems like a no brainer, except, you know, Jack from Merrimack brings in that, he's a man of the people. He brings in that voice of reason, and he broke it down really well. It's not a strange reason, even though we're like befuddled. How could you not support public education? Well, the special interest in the politics behind voting no or getting people to vote no on a referendum like this is really about, you know, trying to not only defund public schools, but force them to struggle. Like it's really about that. It's also voting against your interest. We've made the point against interest of increased property tax. So there is, and Jack brought something really important up, and we're going to have a guest from the Examiner on at some point. We're trying to nail it down, but we have an education reporter, Ruth, our friend Ruth at the Examiner, who did a really close look at this. You can mm-hmm. get into the public record and she has in the articles, right? But you can get in there and you can really see clearly how much money, direct money from taxpayers, goes to vouchers, which means in addition to tuition that's paid at private schools, it's funding to help those schools move even ahead. So being pro public schools doesn't mean you're anti private schools. It just means you're trying to say a funding that's supposed to go to public schools needs to go to public schools, right? It's not an argument. You might be out there and say, well, I got to choose either private school or public school. Which one do I support? You can support both by supporting public schools. What's happening now is an unfair amount of money that should be going, tax dollars that should be going locally to public schools are being routed to private schools through the voucher program, right? And so we can see exactly how much per county in the state of Washington goes there. And uniquely,
Wisconsin.
Sorry. Wisconsin. I'm getting my places all mixed up. You know what happens on Tuesdays, Tim? I've been teaching all day.
That's right.
I come in and my brain's a little fried. But you know what I want to break down is that we can take listeners through it, and we will. And I know that education reporter Ruth will break this down because she did so wonderful in her articles on this, but can show there are counties that have $0 going to the voucher. So how is this happening? And we got to understand that a little bit better, because that's a site of resistance. And that's also not an argument against the existence of private schools. Like, they've been around, they can continue to be around. But public schools is an important function of government. It's important insurance and a big piece of the pie we often talk about as democracy. And to not fund it or to underfund it is intentional to make it suffer, right? And what we're saying here is these aren't asks for like more money for exuberant things. This is basically looking at things that are absolutely essential to making sure that the public schools run well. The last thing I'll say is also, you know, we get back to why. So someone might say, like my neighbor might say, you know, well, why is this on me? And it's partly, we'll simplify it. We've been kind of hoodwinked in terms of if we voted in favor of lowering taxes. So if you maybe supported like Republican legislation in Wisconsin, you're like, yeah, they're going to lower the taxes. They're going to keep my taxes low. No, they're just going to put you in a position to have to spend more locally. Right. So they didn't lower the taxes. They just cut the funds and know the schools are going to have to ask you directly for it instead of it being the state responsibility to figure out. They shirked their responsibility to support schools and then put it on individuals. And the reason we know that is they're hoping through campaign and through political message that they can get us to not vote yes on these things against our own interests, against the strength of our own local economies, because it's positioned as it's more expensive for us. You know, it would have been more economical for them to fund it at the state level and take it directly out of state taxes. But this is a whole maneuver to individualize it, put it on the local, and really sort of, and I actually have a bad metaphor because I don't want to use it because we have people starving right now. But it's starving out public schools, literally and figuratively. And that's not to make a joke, because there are starving people, unfortunately, in this developed country and around the world, but especially here. We shouldn't be intentionally starving out our public schools. And that's what we do when we vote no on referendums. And Milwaukee's a canary in the coal mine. We're not just like pushing this because we're pro-Milwaukee. I actually love Milwaukee schools. But it's also canary in the coal mine. This is happening all over the country.
Yes. And all across
the state of Wisconsin. Hey, but you know, I've taken up a lot of space here. We got a caller and a guest. So let's get the caller on.
LA Tom, what's happening, our friend?
Hey guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Government means we the people.
That's right.
And what I would say is that we have got to somewhere along the line teach people the difference between private and public.
Yeah.
When it's private, it means there's a profit motive is involved. It's called profitize, not privatize, it's profitize. And when you're talking about public, it means we the people. It means the commons. You know, we don't talk about the commons anymore. You know, where we have our roads and bridges and schools and all these different things that are basically natural monopolies is what they are, and they should not be privatized. Privatized should be maybe shoes, computers, all that type of stuff. But when you're talking about things that we all share in common, that there is only one way to get that power source into your home, that should be we the people own it, not some corporation.
L.A. Tom, man, always love it when you are calling. Teacher Joanna, man, you've been sitting there. You got a lot going on. I can see it.
Well, I'm just thinking about, first, I love Tom's term profitize instead of privatize. There's a good one. Right. I love that. Yeah. It's really important. Yeah, I just think about, like, our schools are really just access. You know, it's an access. It's access to a place for children to be well. And right, ultimately that's our purpose, you know, where we want children to be well and to grow and develop in healthy ways. That's again when we're talking about our commons, right, and what our commons and what our public supports. And it's not over dramatizing when I'm saying for how long we've been bare bones, for how long we've actually been kind of giving kids less. And therefore impacting, I feel, their ability to be well. When we think about all these things where people are worried about our youth, or there's, you know, documented increases in stress, anxiety, and depression among young children, you know, let's not act like school and schooling is not part of that. And so is that the time where we keep, is that what we want to say less and less? Like, you're unwell. Okay, great. We'll invest less in that. Or is it, you know, do we want to fulfill this purpose of this place of wellness and learning for the future of our country?
Well, you say it that way too. And it comes down to this kind of, and when you don't too, think about this, the negative impacts of students not having what they need what they, it guess what? Their wellness, as you point out, Joanna, is going to be affected. And for those of you that care about these things, their academic achievement will suffer. And of course, once their academic achievement suffers, then here we come back in with the whole argument, failing Milwaukee public schools, let's privatize them, or let's profitize them, as L.A. Tom says. And so you can see here how all of this is gamed to continue to put public schools, and in this case, Milwaukee public schools, as right now during the referendum, they just want more money. After that, then it's the failing school and they get too much money and we need to give money to allow kids to get out of failing public schools. No, it's a constant battering of our public schools. And people recognizing, I think we're at this moment, though, too. I'm going to use Kevin Kumashiro. He likes to talk about a moment. This is a moment right now to realize the commons, as we were just talking about that, the public, the reality of how we are absolutely with core democratic values in this. Guess what? You got this, your public schools, they are absolutely the places where citizenship, where we learn to be better people. And as we've been saying, this isn't also the idea that says they're great, they're 100% awesome, they're did. No. In fact, if anybody has listened to Busted Pencils, especially Educators Amplified with us, we are always telling you how schools can be even way, way, way better than just the status quo. The reality is here, though, this is a lifeline. This is absolutely a necessity. This is not something that we're trying to just throw a little extra money so that the teachers can have something extra. No, This is to make sure the essentials stay there. Say yes to MPB.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Going wild.
There it is.
Rocking it out,
man. You see that air guitar I'm playing.
We rock it out tonight. For MPS tonight. Pencils.
Yeah, it is. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number 855-752-4842. Special Tuesday night edition of Educators Amplified. Teacher Joanna is in the house. Yes to MPS. Jack from Merrimack calling, LA Tom calling, really putting out there though to this idea of the commons. And during the break there, Johnny, you were kind of trying to help us,
behind the scenes. I guess we're going to talk about our commercial break that you all heard, but if you're live on YouTube, you hear us, we're kind of talking about, you know, caller Tom called in and he brought up a really couple important points, but one that I want to come back around to is this notion of the commons. I mean, it's so important because we keep saying, really, like, it's common sense argument, or it's maybe it's, as Tom might nudge us, it's commons sense. Mm. But this notion for our listeners, we tease economists a lot. And we're like, come on, economists that talk about education, give us a break. But then here I'll be an educator that talks about economics, because the two are intertwined, especially when we're talking like politics and economics. And this notion of the commons that Tom brought up is really important. Because we can point back to specifically, and there's a lot of different ways to define the commons, but one of the specific ones that I think we're referencing here is Garrett Hardin's Tragedy of the Commons. And it kind of tells, I'll paraphrase it, and economists may cringe and call in and be like, no, you got it wrong, but I think I got it close enough. But basically, you know, he wrote about that there was this sort of, you know, transition in feudal England and all this sort of rise of, you know, early capitalism and beginning free markets that Adam Smith and people were actually writing about, that were writing about the, you know, the gods we follow right now of capitalism. But, you know, breaking that down, there was this idea of like, hey, who owns the land? And what happens to this idea of common land? Because what's to stop Tim from putting more sheep on the common land? Because forever we kind of had some like the commons, like the king ruled it, or there was this idea of the commons. Where like we just didn't, you knew like if Tim put two on and Johnny put one on and Joanna put one on, it was good. But what's to stop Tim from putting 20 on? And in the past, you know, for generations before, people had said like, well, the commons, the common good, the sense of the commons, like you just kind of figure out locally, or like the king might tell you, not saying that the kings and queens is the way to go, but this notion of the commons, nobody owned the land, so nobody got to say the rules of the land. It was just sort of the commons, common law, common rule. So the tragedy of the commons being, once we started to believe that in order for the land to be well, or for our community to thrive, someone had to own that land and be the ruler of it. So now let's say Tim owns the land. He gets to decide how many sheep he puts on, how many sheep Joanna puts on, how many sheep Johnny put on, and he gets to make up the rules about it. So it becomes privatized, right? It's private ownership to Tim. So for what LA Tom kind of brought, and we're doing a little lesson on like economics and civics together, what Tom called in and brought attention to was this notion of the commons, that education should be part of the commons.
that it can't be owned by an interest group or a political party, right? It can't be owned by private corporations. In fact, it has to belong to all of us, we the people. It's part of the commons. And I like to bring that, like, Tom, you remind us about commons sense. The argument that teacher Joanna and Tim and I are making often is, come on, this is commons sense. Public education is an investment in a democracy. It doesn't belong to profiteers. It doesn't belong to, we ought not to be privatizing it so that companies can make money, right? It ought not to be up for political debate. But this is the tragedy of the commons, right? This is the idea. Our water systems are faced with this. Our air quality, our health, everything commodified and privatized. And this is a huge problem that's interconnected, and education is part of it. So I love that, because then in the chat, you know, teacher Joanna talked about class size. This is huge. We had, you know, Dr. Julian Vasquez Heilig on, and he said, hey, we know if you lower class size, you increase learning, and students do better, and school districts do better. And in fact, teachers feel better. And all the way around, this is the, excuse my language on this, is the best bang for the buck, right? And so we know this. It has a huge high, it's a high yield on return, but yet we don't do it. Instead, we increase the class sizes against all the information. So teacher Joanna put that in there, and it sparked this thing, because the energy from LA Tom and teacher Joanna connected. And I'm like, this is a great example of the tragedy of the commons, because it's not how many sheep we get to put on the land. It's how many kids we put in our classroom. If the classroom is the commons, right? If the classrooms are the commons, we're not using commons sense, right? We are doing exactly the opposite. So, I mean, I didn't need all that hot air to explain that. Teacher Joanna laid it out in a short text. And of course I took it and turned it into a bunch of educator talk and economics. But teacher Joanna, what do you have to say about that? I mean, you gave us that example.
Well, that's why you're on the radio, first of all. So don't apologize. Like, break it down. It's good. But right, when we think about class size, even right now, when I say, like, we've been in this, you know, like, we have class sizes of kindergartners that are like 28, 29, 30. Like, that's really insane. You know, ideal is like 12. So that's what I'm talking about, of like, we've been so far away from ideal, and to think that we would keep moving in that direction as schools get less and less funding, it really is. It's tragic. Again, being the professional and knowing what it takes to do this job and do this job well, and what kids really deserve. And again, what they're needing. So when your friend Julian was on the show, right, and he's saying, like, there's, you know, it's not like a mystery. We know when kids get more attention, they're going to do better. Their needs are going to be met, and they're going to be really well known. And so, you know, they're going to improve and they're going to grow. And yeah. And so we stand to, you know, keep moving further away. And that's just what I hope our listeners really understand, that we are far away from probably what the average listener of this show understood education to be for themselves. We are very far away from that. We are very far away from that in terms of the structure and how much less there is and how much more is packed into that less.
Yeah. Well, you think about that too. It's like you said, all of that. I just want to make a quick example there. Joanna, you said, you know, smaller class sizes, better for the kids, better learning, better for the teachers too, then, who can spend more quality time teaching those students. Because as we said, teachers have been having more and more and more added to everything they do. You know what? Reducing class sizes might actually go a long way in actually stopping the teacher exodus that we're facing out there too.
Sure will.
Man, Educators Amplified, teacher Joanna in the house. It's Busted Pencils. Yeah, man. Check it out tomorrow.
Make sure you vote yes. Come on, yes, vote yes MPS. For MPS, baby. Come on. You got one job out there, voters. Let's do it.
All right, and we're early voting's now.
That's right. It's open.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Wednesday on Matt Nair On Air, we talked to someone working with a group called Republican Voters Against Trump, and our civic media meteorologist joins us. Don't miss it.
Connect the dots. Would you dip into your retirement savings to make a loan to climate-polluting oil, coal, and gas companies? Well, you already have if you're a member of Wisconsin's public employee retirement system. Go to climatesafepensionswisconsin.org. Sign the petition. Common sense investments, not financing polluters. Future generations will thank you for visiting. That's climatesafepensionswisconsin.org.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Baltimore Bridge collapse. I'm Chuck Sievertson. The search and rescue mission has just been suspended.